Welcome to The Connection, a weekly radio program where we share our experiences and expertise with stories of caring, courage, and change right here in Connecticut. Listen to learn about needed resources to improve your well-being and transform your life. Now, here are the hosts of The Connection, Lisa DeMattis-Lepore and Ann Baldwin.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of The Connection. I am one of your hosts, Lisa DeMattis-Lepore, and Ann Baldwin is, well, she's with me today in the studio. She's not joining me on this show, but I can see her beautiful face. I'm waving to her. Hi, Ann, with the beautiful eyes and a little blue stripe in her hair, but we won't talk about that today. Very excited about the talk we're having today. We have two amazing guests. From the Department of Correction. They're both parole managers, Pam Gordon and Donna Savoy. And we're going to be talking today about women in prison and reintegration into the community for women. And this topic is extremely near and dear to my heart for many reasons. One of them is because when I first came to The Connection in April 21st of 1991, do not guess my age, I came to The Connection because what I had seen was such a lack of treatment, gender-specific treatment, and also services for women in general in Connecticut, and found myself drawn to wanting to provide services for them. And many of the women that we've seen through the years and from the beginning of time at The Connection have come out of incarceration and have lost their family and their children and have had some pretty tragic histories of trauma, etc. So I am really excited to have both of you here today to talk about your work and what's happening in Connecticut with our women. So I'm going to have you both introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Donna Savoy, parole manager. I've been a parole manager for the last 4 years. I started in the Department of Corrections in 1999, so same thing, don't calculate. and I started actually at the women's prison as a correctional officer.
Wonderful.
And then I got promoted to counselor, and then I started working with the male population for about 10 years inside, and then was promoted to parole officer and ended up being asked if I would start the women's reentry unit 7 years ago. So, and at first, most people's reaction is they do not want to work with the women because there's so many other issues that come along with them.
Right.
But after doing it now for so many years, I think if there's any population that we can affect, it is the female population. So, so then I got promoted to a parole manager to run the female unit for the whole state. And now I've just been assigned somewhere else, and Pam Gordon has taken over the women's unit.
Well, hi, Pam.
Hello.
It's nice to see you today.
Thank you. Same here.
So tell us a little bit about the work that you do.
My name is Pam Gordon, and I've been with the Department of Corrections since 2005, and I just took over the women's unit about a month ago. So basically, we work with the females when they're released into the community from York Correctional Facility, which is our only female correctional facility in Connecticut.
And how many folks can be housed there in the prison?
In York, I believe it's about...
I want to say it's about 1,200.
1,200 women can be placed in incarceration there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And can you talk a little bit about some of the offenses that the women are at York for? What are they coming in for?
Mostly non-violent offenses.
Okay.
Drug charges, prostitution, mm-hmm. Things like that.
That are mostly related to drug addiction?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Larcenies. There's a lot of larcenies that end up happening, embezzling from different companies and different things. I mean, of course, we have the violent offenders as well.
Of course.
Domestic violence issues, things like that. But, you know, you always wonder, did that stem from them?
Of course.
You know, having issues?
Of course. And what is the age range of the incarcerated women?
Right now, so they do have a youth area.
Oh, they do?
But I'm honestly not sure as to how
okay.
many young mm-hmm. kids are in there, but it's usually 18 and up.
18 and up?
Yes.
And I'm just curious, can you give me an age range up to, so if you're saying 18, what may be in the latter part of someone's years, how old you're seeing females?
50s, mid-50s.
Yeah, even 60s.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
but we do have a few that are lifers as well, you know, so those
would
be on, you know, those would be on for.
So tell us about the work that you're doing with the women in reintegration. And you did say something that I really would like you to expand on, and that is the fact that these are complex issues that the women have. So can you also talk about that?
Well, so most of these women have went through some sort of trauma throughout their life. So just us understanding that from the beginning is a huge obstacle, I think, that we didn't look at years ago. So now knowing that almost all of them have been through some sort of trauma, our officers are highly trained to recognize that as well, which is great. We've even brought it to York as well. Like, York has trained their officers now a little bit more into just recognizing, you know, a girl might be fighting when you handcuff her because that's just her instinct, you know, because she's fighting because something might have happened to her, you know, when she was younger, not because she's trying to fight a correctional officer, you know. So just being aware of the trauma that's happened to them throughout their life, I think, is probably one of the most important things.
And so when we're talking about trauma, so our listeners understand, we're talking about emotional and physical abuse, pretty much, right? History stemming back for a lot of the clients, even from potentially childhood or other issues that occurred, familial, et cetera. And I think that that's really important, exactly what you said, because I think it's a lot of times that they're misunderstood. Women are misunderstood in general. And I think it's really difficult to, if you think about in general, being a female, there's so many things that we have to balance and there's so many roles that we're expected to play. And that's really difficult. So the stressors are very different, right? And then if you are growing up in a family where there's substance abuse, domestic violence, and generational cycles of abuse that we all see, right? It's really difficult. And again, I think this is important, is socioeconomic class, there's no prejudice here. So I know that the women that you're seeing are the women that we're seeing at The Connection and other agencies are seeing, which is that it affects all socioeconomic classes of society, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And so can you talk a little bit about what types of services that women are getting when they're incarcerated, and talk about what, which I think is really important, is the reintegration back into the community, which is really key to a woman's success, especially in building a support system, reuniting with family, if family's still available, and if they have any children. And all the losses, right, that they're experiencing while they're incarcerated is extremely difficult. I can imagine we see that when they come back out. So how do you know, feelings of guilt, feelings of shame, blaming themselves, et cetera. So talk a little bit about what happens when a woman is incarcerated and the preparation for when she is ready to reintegrate.
Well, a lot of it is left up to them while they're incarcerated, you know, so if they want to change, there's so many programs in there to help them learn different things about them. I think you guys actually might do Seeking Safety.
We do Seeking Safety.
So that's a huge group, and that's actually at York as well as out here in the community. But we do not ever force a female to go into that group.
Of course, of course.
So if she's not ready to deal with her trauma, but I always encourage, you know, our females to do that, because I always feel like if they learn where a lot of this behavior is coming from, then maybe they can change it.
Absolutely.
But we've been involved in the Worth unit that just opened up at York.
Tell us about that.
So that's for young offenders. So the 18 to 25 year old female population. So they actually created a whole new building for them. They have peer mentors. They made an beautiful program there, and like I said, we've been involved in it a lot because those kids, we would call them, are coming out to our supervision.
That's right. We've even
done some in-reach where we'll go into the prison, talk to the females. Like, I went there last month, had six of the girls come. I just sat and talked to them for about an hour. Just, they asked questions about parole, they asked, you know, what to expect, different conditions, and then I sat down with each one of them individually and just went through, you know, any questions that they had to kind of put their mind at ease a little bit more about coming out, and just helped them figure out who their officers were. And just, so I think that in-reach is going to be a huge thing, you know, that hopefully we're going to continue doing. But they're always coming up with different programs and different meetings. Like I said, we're always trying to stay very involved with York CI because they're coming out from there, you know?
That's right. That's wonderful. Just curiosity. So you talked about this one example of having a group of these women. What were some of the the themes that came really from that group, aside from, I'm sure there's fear, there's concern, you know, what do I do now if they've been incarcerated for a long time? What are their options? And also my question is, what do you see, where are these women going when they're getting out? Treatment programs is preferred, right? A reentry program.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's, we were actually chatting about this earlier, just saying that a lot of them are not picking safe places to go when they get out. So it's kind of up to us to make sure we're checking and making sure it's a safe place for them to go. Because really, to get out of prison, you're going to probably put down anywhere if it's going to get you out of prison.
Exactly.
So we would love for them to go to, you know, a treatment program first, especially if they've been incarcerated for a long period of time, for them just to learn how to reintegrate back into the community, you know,
exactly.
Where if they just come out. One of the girls was actually, I think, 17 when she committed her crime. So she was in for 6 years at this point. So for her to get into a halfway house was just a huge opportunity, really, for her to be able to just learn how to be an adult, really, because she grew up in prison.
Wow.
So, but she just got out, actually. So hopefully, fingers crossed, she does a great job.
That's fantastic. Can you talk also a little bit about what the sort of the day-to-day is like in Niantic with regard to what are programs that, again, you know, you don't force people to do things, but what are some, because there are many opportunities and many things that they can learn and they do learn. And I think that's important for people to understand. So what are some of the things that they're able to participate in as far as growing or changing in groups and things like that?
So, I mean, like I said, we do a lot more out in the community, but I know inside they have the Marilyn Baker program, which is an inpatient drug treatment program that they sign up for if they want to go to it and they learn. And I don't know, honestly, how long they stay there. I want to say it's about 6 months they stay there. Mm-hmm. And then they can transition to another housing unit. They have the Moving On group inside as well, so which is a great group that teaches them just positive relationships and, you know, just how to be positive in life. Obviously, drug treatment they have. They have
educational programs, GED. They're able to take college courses inside as well.
That's fantastic. So talk a little bit about your role as a parole manager and exactly what you do when working with the women when they're reintegrating into the community.
So we have 7 officers that work throughout the state. So they cover the whole female population for the state. The only females that they don't have are the mental health population. So most of our females have mental health problems, issues, you know, that we can deal with, but usually the higher level mental health would go to actually the mental health unit. And DUI, we do not have. We have our own unit for the DUI females. So they actually, for the home confinement and sex offenders. So the sex offenders would go to the sex offender unit. So those are the only females that we don't have. Other than that, they cover the whole state. So 7 officers have
That's
the
amazing.
Whole state. Yes.
Wow.
So they're the ones who really are doing a lot of the interactions. Our role as a manager is more to support them because they hear all of these traumatic stories and all of these things, you know, so it's difficult, you know, and I was an officer with the females for 3 years. So it is difficult sometimes, you know, going home and going, why did this happen to this girl when she was 10 years old? You know, like there's stories I'll never forget, you know, that have been told to us. So as a manager, I think our goal is to just support them and make sure
exactly.
that they're taking care of themselves. And they'll call us, you know, when something goes wrong, when a female's using or they have tons of interactions with DCF and, you know, trying to make sure that the children are safe as well.
Absolutely. It is incredibly stunning to really hear story after story of the trauma and really what these women have gone through. There's so many cases, and just when you thought you've heard the most traumatic story, you hear another one that you can't even believe. And of course, in my history at The Connection, you know, we see that and we've continued to see the stories of women coming out of incarceration and coming into treatment. And the good news is, and I do agree with you, that next step of reentry is so key, and programs are really needed for the women, for anyone coming out, but especially as a woman, because as you said, their issues are so unique and the level of trauma is so difficult, and you have to deal with those when that particular person is ready to deal with them, right? It's like peeling an onion. You keep taking a layer off and you find out one more thing. And I'm sure you can relate to the story when you, because you talked about when a woman is put in handcuffs, sort of why is she responding that way? I can recall we had a client who came out of a residence. She was incarcerated. She went into one of our residential treatment programs, did very well, custody back of her child, and she was getting an apartment to live in. And it was a lovely apartment. However, it was near a, she could hear the railroad. She could hear the train. She can hear that noise. And she didn't want to live there. And she was screaming and yelling. And, you know, I can remember at that time I was in a different role and the staff called and said, you know, she's being unreasonable and she doesn't want to live there. And I said, well, did you ask her why? Like, what is it? And it is because when she was sexually molested over and over again, she lived near a train railroad station. And so she would hear the sound of the train and that was a trigger for her, right? So it wasn't that this particular client wasn't appreciative and wasn't ready, but that specific spot was not going to be successful for her. So you're right, learning and training, training the probation officers and letting them understand, right, what's going on, I think is really key. And I really give a lot of kudos to the department for recognizing that the level of trauma and issues for women are prevalent and that folks need to be trained to assist these women as they're getting out and attempting to really become effective citizens in society. And we do see that they can be and that they do. And that what happens is when they're making those changes because they have people in their life for once who really do care about them, right? And who are steady and who aren't going to let them down because they don't trust people, right? When they build that, the self-esteem, you know, they build their self-esteem, right?
I'm just laughing because that's one of the things I actually wrote down as I was driving here, thinking about the obstacles that they go through. And I thought this is one of the first times they've ever had a positive person that's, and it's really their parole officer. So some people are like, that's weird, you know, but this is the first time they've ever had a positive role model, you know, that cares about them doing something and doing well in the community. I mean, I've had times where I actually brought females back and they were crying in the back saying sorry to me. And I would say, no, it's not, you know, it's not me, it's you. You know, you have to think about yourself and your children and, you know, your family and stuff. But they feel like they're letting you down, you know, because you are the first person who's ever really been that consistent person like in their life. And we actually have one male officer in the female unit at this point. And we did actually go back and forth, like, is that going to be beneficial for them? Is it not, just due to, you know, the different issues that have happened? And it's been great because same thing, he's the first positive male role model that they've ever had, where that's not looking for anything that's not
exactly,
you know, that's supporting them, you know, and
exactly,
trying to get them to do something positive. But it is amazing when they start to see, you know, that they can accomplish things, and because they've been put down most of their life telling them they can't do anything, you know, so now you have someone saying you can do this, then you can definitely see a change, you know, in the way that they look at things.
It's really about meaningful connections and really those roles that you folks play and that any staff that works with this population and all of us really when working, that we meet folks where they are and really get to know them. And I do believe that these folks are so tuned into who's really there for them. I mean, they'll test you, but who's really there for them and who really gets to know them and that you really respect them for who they are and you understand. And it is scary because they haven't had that in a long time. So those connections are key for all of us. If we think about, I mean, I know we can all talk about who's been a role model in our life and who's been there for us really through the ups and downs. And those are the people that have impacted our life in a positive way to help us move forward, right? So there's really no different. What are some of the other things that you see happening in the department with females moving forward for Connecticut? Because it's really exciting that I feel like you guys are on this really exciting journey now with women and really making some positive changes. And that's really wonderful to hear, because we know that there's probably more women out there that, right, that need services, but also that are going to come into, that are going to be incarcerated, but not necessarily because they want to, but because of circumstances, right, beyond their control sometimes, and bad relationships and parents. But what are some of the other exciting things that you see moving forward for through the department for clients?
I honestly think one of the biggest things that we have done in this unit is to come up with a gender-responsive assessment that we do. So, and that's something, there's not many states that are actually doing this at this point. And we actually have now, York is trained, so they've been doing it on females as well. We're doing it out in the community, and then probation does it as well. So we're one of the only states, you know, in the
that's
country
fantastic.
That are doing that. And this assessment is just... it just gets all of the things that the women are struggling with, you know, and it actually talks about abuse. It talks about, you know, physical abuse, sexual abuse, like where the officer's getting to know this offender a little bit better. But then it has the strengths as well. So they actually get points for the strengths, which is great. You know, if they have education, they get points. If they have parental involvement, they get good points. You know, really the points taken off. So the lower the assessment rates out, the less we really see them, because they're less risk they are. So, but this assessment has definitely been huge. And like I said, it gets the officers to get a chance to actually, you know the offender a little bit better, you know, by doing this assessment. And it takes, you know, if they're doing a good one, probably 45 minutes to an hour to do this assessment on them and just find out what are their needs. You know, every one of them doesn't have the same need. So one might have housing issues where the other might be drug treatment, you know. So we were just giving them all the same treatment, where now this assessment, it goes, well, wait a minute, you know, like she needs help with parenting, you know, she doesn't necessarily have problems with the drug use, but she needs help with parenting, you know. So then we can focus in on that, and we talk to them and try and decide which programs they want to do and which ones, you know, they think will be beneficial for them. So usually we pick the top three things that they rated out as, and then we focus on those.
So that's fantastic. So for those listeners that are just tuning in, we're talking today about women in prison and reintegration into the community, and we've been speaking with parole managers from DOC, Pam Gordon and Donna Savoy, and we've been talking about, you know, the importance of reentry and also new tools that are being used within correction right now that are gender specific and really rating where women are and what their issues are, so that people are getting used to the stat, you know, the folks that are working with this population are getting used to what exactly the issues are at hand. And so they're dealing with people individually, which is key. They're honing in on what the issues are, and then they're better to provide services when they, you know, leave the community. What do you like about your job? Why do you do this work? I'm serious. That's really key, because it's obvious you have passion and it really means a lot to you. But especially as females, can you both tell me, you know, sort of what brought you to where you are today, and what personally do you take away from the work that you do every day?
Well, like I said, personally, they asked me if I wanted to do this, you know, 7 years ago. And I was like, I don't think so. Because like most usually like the women, you know, nobody wants to work with, because there are so many complex issues that come with it. But then after, you know, doing it for probably 6 months, I started to realize, wait a minute, this is amazing, you know, to be able to really help, you know, and like we were able to kind of go out of the box a little bit, like in our thinking with the female population, which was nice. You know, it wasn't, we just came up with just different things, you know. And at one point, you know, I brought a female to go get an HIV test. She would not go. She started using, was convinced that she had HIV. So I brought her to the appointment to get checked, and she didn't have it. And it was a whole change in her mentality, a whole change in everything. You know, at that point, you know, she realized, oh my gosh, like I do have something worth living for, you know. And I thought, I don't know if I'm supposed to do this. Like, I don't know if I'm supposed to take her to the doctors. But, you know, she wasn't going to go, because she had nobody to take her. So, and then she wanted me to go in, and I was like, oh gosh, you know, I hope this comes out to be like a good result, you know. But I guess at this point now I do it because there is such a need, and there's so many people don't understand the difference between the female and the male population, and that I just feel like we're here to protect them,
yes.
You know, and that we should not be sending them to places that they shouldn't be going, you know, like
absolutely.
We are here to not ever allow them to be traumatized again.
Agreed.
You know, and so I think that's what's happened this last, you know, 4 years as becoming the manager, is just looking at different situations that just aren't safe and saying, this isn't safe for them. You know, I'd rather have them go to a program or go somewhere to be safe, because that's the last thing that we need is any more, you know, victimization of
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely.
But
Absolutely.
So I guess my thing was just to be able to help, you know, help a few of them. So, and I know I have, because some of them still call, you know, after years, you know, just saying that they're doing well and they're still doing well. So
that's the best.
It is.
It is the best feeling to know that you made an impact and the system is really working and really providing for these women the things that they need to continue on with their life and really rebuild, which is very difficult. It's not easy. It's not so easy as people think.
No, not at all.
It is not easy at all. Trauma and all the issues take a lifelong time to really recover and get over. I mean, you're talking about really severe issues.
I just enjoy helping the females, helping them to reintegrate back into the community and to get their lives on track, to help them with their children and to be able to reunite again with their children. You know, being away from your child is very hard. And it's, you know, just seeing them being with their children and reintegrating back into community and being successful and growing from there.
Mm-hmm. And can you talk a little bit about the women that are incarcerated that do have children? Are they able to, some of them be able to see their children? Do they have visiting hours and sort of how does that work?
They are able to visit with their children. Family would have to bring them. DCF brings them as well.
Yeah.
So they are able to keep an open line of communication with their children.
That's really great.
Just as long as they haven't had,
of
you
course.
Know, their rights terminated or something like that.
Absolutely.
That's a whole nother issue.
So what would you say, I'm curious, what are the caseloads looking like for women coming out now for reentry?
Well, originally when the unit was created, they were supposed to have 25 females on their caseload. And then now it's about 40.
Mid-40s?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mid-40s, yes.
Wow.
So
that's a lot of women.
It is, especially when there's so many issues, you know, that come up. And like I said, really, they deal with DCF a lot.
Right.
And a lot of times they're dealing with housing issues. You know, they'll
housing
put down
is so important.
They'll put down somebody to get out of prison and then realize, you know, 2 or 3 days later, this person was not a safe person to go to. So now the officers are scrambling, trying to find a safe place for them to go to.
We definitely need more treatment facilities for women. This is near and dear to my heart, and we really, you know, we can't, this is a population that, and I'm not suggesting they are, but this is a population that should not, and nor am I implying that they are thrown by the wayside. And with the amount of women that need help right now in Connecticut, it's a real problem. It's serious. And I'm really grateful for the work that you're both doing, and I want to say thank you. So I hope our listeners enjoyed our show today. I want to thank Pam Gordon and Donna Savoy for their great work at the Department of Correction. We are really happy that we are able to collaborate with the Department of Correction. I'm really excited that you're doing this work for women. I would love for you folks to come back, so I want to say thank you. And to those listeners out there, I hope you have a lovely remainder of a Sunday. And our next show will be with my lovely co-host, Ann Baldwin. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of The Connection, WTIC News Talk 1080.